being able to understand something doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be able to teach someone else it. It's hard to put it into those words, like the Einstein quote about like anybody can make something more complicated, you can make it simpler.
Yeah.
And you're just like, there's a lot I'm trying to fit into this knowledge funnel for fantasy football.
Like sometimes it's amazing, like just explain the point spread or something like that. Like, oh, -7.5, what does that mean? Means if they win by eight points, I win. If they win by seven, or and then you get all these questions back. It's like, made this more complicated than it already is. I don't want to get into the idea.
Diving into this right now.
I don't want to get into the idea that I just bet $55 to win 50 because you don't understand what that means either.
Right.
But I am fucking ready to rock. I'm good.
The line moved.
Yeah.
No, I'm just explaining that to somebody and just be like, oh.
Yeah. This is what it opened at. This is what it is, and is this what we're opening with?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, this is okay.
We're online. We're live.
This is again.
So yeah, to those that are unaware, this is the No Rules Podcast. I am Jim Baer. He is Ryan Schofield, and we are under an umbrella that is Crow Media. It's a fantasy hub for lots of opinion pieces and fantasy football analysis for the most part. And it's relatively new, so that's the reason I'm having so much trouble explaining what it is because we haven't really fully realized it yet, but we got some talented people talking and writing sports.
You've done some writing for it, Jim, haven't you?
A touch, yeah. I had some feelings about Pierre Garçon. You know?
were they strong feelings?
Yeah, pretty strong feelings, yeah. I'm a Pierre Garçon fan when it comes to fantasy.
Pierre, it's that French-sounding name, so I mean, this does sound a little bit...
My first experience with him was you know, Donald Brown and Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon, he's part of that group. It's just like, who is this guy? But then he kind of just, he was feisty, man. He's aggressive at the point of attack, and he catches footballs downfield, and he's a gamer, and now he's a number one quarterback in Kyle Shanahan's offense for a bad team. It's going to be down a lot and throwing the football, and Hoyer's not terrible.
I was actually thinking about that earlier, his rookie year, because we're going to get into every team in the NFL, but it was just randomly off the bat.
Yeah, here we are.
Getting our reps in. Pierre Garçon, like, he would just, yeah, his rookie year, he was out there, that was supposed to be Manning, had a bunch of scrubs, but turns out he's had a pretty good career. I wouldn't, like, say he's a Hall of Famer, or he's even been, like, a Pro Bowl-level player at all, but he's a guy who's been pretty relevant for about 10 years now, and you don't realize
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sneaky. Sneaky productive, and he's, over the past 3 years, I believe he's averaging something like 75 years or catches a year.
Yeah, he's a relative player. He's probably rostered in fantasy every year.
Absolutely.
Which, again, like, for that extended period of time now, now that I'm getting older, I'm realizing how, look up a fantasy, guide from, 5 years ago and look at the organs of players. Like,
yeah,
guys
so you're
already,
saying you respect the guys that are, like, oh, wow, he's still around. It's like, what's up with him?
Yeah, I mean, even right now, Frank Gore is another guy who, he had a couple, a stretch where he was definitely in the top five of backs or whatever. The fact that he's still playing, and we'll get back to India on that one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, on the same, similar note. Kudos to Matt Forte for still being around. Like, didn't he come in with that whole Slayton and or was it Slayton or was it Foster? It was like these random. Oh, these guys are out of nowhere. And
Matt
Forte is still here.
He was the small school guy from Tulane, and his first game was like a Sunday nighter against the Vikings, I think it was, and he went off for like 180 total yards and 3 touchdowns,
pass catching in the whole deal.
And then he was one of those guys that maybe some people had on their fantasy roster that was like the next day, like, you know how there's that guy, like, okay, everybody's adding him.
Yeah.
But. As I was just mentioning before, we're doing this a little bit late night because we're basically two kids on Christmas Eve right now. Football, we're doing this Wednesday night. The NFL season is upon us tomorrow.
Yeah, we're both pretty excited. And we have a general agenda, what we want to get to. But yeah, it's more childlike glee and excitement more than anything else. We're less than 24 hours away when we're recording this.
It is a lot of the game. As a whole, the NFL will still frustrate me. I'll still have plenty of things I rant and rave about continuously. I still kind of like baseball more, but from the betting aspect, the breath of fresh air, seasons are changing, it's cold.
Fall's coming.
It's cold and rainy. Yeah, winter is here.
For all intents and purposes.
That's probably one of the most commonly abused phrases.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, if there was ever a phrase or a time, those two go together. That was a poor way for me to phrase it, but you know what I mean. This is when you can say winter is here or winter is coming.
It's kind of like flashing a sign to somebody, and if they know what that means, then you can have a conversation
right.
about that. If you go to say talk with somebody with Game of Thrones, and they've never seen it, it sucks. It's kind of like when you're going to find yourself, probably listeners of this, in a bar, and you're going to see somebody wearing a jersey or something, and you're going to talk about football, and they're going to have no idea what they're talking
Very
about.
Very true.
It's really not the same, but you're going to have to deal with a lot of bullshit soon.
I did walk into a bar. Man walks into a bar and sees pretty much an empty bar and a waiting staff, mostly females, and they were going hard on Game of Thrones. They were just breaking it down. This one chick read the books. And a guy there that, like, you know, I'd watched a couple episodes, but he was confused. And it was cool to see, like, seven or eight people just, like, and it's happened more than once. That was just one specific example that gave me the feels. But when people are watching this show, like, almost everybody is watching this show. And you can kind of, whether you like everything that's going on or you just want to discuss it, it's cool to have everybody connected over.
It absolutely was, yeah. No, it was something that I never thought going into it. I kind of had that built resistance that I was not going to like it whatsoever.
Perfect internet show.
And then I caught up to it, and I've even watched it back a second time. I'm still not quite as enamored as everybody, but I do like it a lot.
You're happy to be on board with this, like, you're for the ride, you know. You're not making proclamations, but you're like, all right, I'm strapped in. We're on this roller coaster. Like, you're watching it.
It's highly entertaining. I mean, again, like, I guess this is almost again like a perfect, you know, transition back to NFL stuff. It's like it kind of has the whole thing. I don't think the NFL is as good as it once was. I don't think the Game of Thrones was. I think it was better in some of the middle early seasons. You know, there's random ups and downs, peaks and valleys.
Seven was tough. Seven was more entertaining than
it was highly entertaining. That's what we're getting with the NFL right now.
Too dense, almost for its own good, and it was a means to an end that is probably going to be. They're going to show out for season 8. I feel like they just had to bridge a gap that was too far for 7 episodes, even if some of them were super long, full length movie length. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully that's not where we're headed again with the NFL, which because the length of games is an issue. It's been an issue for me.
Yeah,
some
of them drag, but I mean, red zone gets me through, and fantasy.
It's one of those things again. Like I always say, you know, like the idea that, you know, if I was to explain to young Ryan that the problems that I have, where I can be somewhere and have 4 or 5 games on at once, and sometimes there's nothing on, versus when I can only just watch one game at a time, but. The replays, that like just the idea of that the huddles of refs after every play is like, there's just sometimes there's
continuity,
there's a
fluidity.
In sports, you're not supposed to have certain times of the game that actually are really, really worth more than others, but it doesn't seem like until the end of the, like, you know, like, really there's certain strides of the game, and it seems like the first and third quarter are very sloppy.
Yeah.
There's no pace or feel to.
That can happen in the NBA too. Weird runs, couple turnovers.
But so as far as the game actually takes on an actual, I don't know, like flow, but this with, you know, commercials and challenges, I mean, again, when games used to be 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, then it was 1 o'clock and 4:15. Now legitimately games don't start till 4:30. They need to have that window. And you're generally still watching a 1 o'clock game, which as a gambler is very, very frustrating because you need to know if you're up, if you're down, if your parlay's live, if you need to lay more. I mean, there's shit like that, you know.
You should have a 15, 20 minutes to deal with, yeah.
Yeah, it's mean, like, I believe that, I don't know, we'll see where that goes. I mean, obviously, preseason, they're trying to just emphasize rules, so, like, I just hope that the penalties aren't as extremely called as they were in some of the games.
Yeah, the refs have complete control over how fluid the game goes. We'll see what they do. I mean, but I have faith. Football's fun, dude.
For all
the shit we're giving it, and we haven't even, I don't want to touch concussions. I don't want to touch any of the scandals, and I don't want to talk about Zeke, I don't want to talk about Goodell, Michael Bennett.
Kaepernick, I don't want to talk about Michael Bennett. No, I kind of. Cool,
but football is here, and we're here to break down all the actual on-field stuff that we think is going to happen based off of the research that we've been doing off-season last year.
Feeling, you know.
I feel like I'm loose. I've shaken off the football rust, and I've acquainted myself, and I feel like I know what's going on. So that means I'm ready to be very wrong about things.
Exactly. Like, that's like my favorite part. I want to record this episode. I made it a point is that I want to listen to this and just think about how wrong I was. And then sometimes it's pretty good to listen to something like, "Hey, dude, I was onto that." You know, like, you could create a sizzle reel. Like, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've had a few things I was right about, and I almost don't remember the vast majority of the time where I'm wrong. You know,
like. We just don't want to be like, you know, like some of those people, like, you know, and that do things like this that will just continue to harp on points that they were wrong about and just not admit it and just move, you know. Admit
for
it,
sure.
You're wrong and move on. Some people can't do that.
Right. I actually saw a link to an article that said exactly that, that people will cling to their own biases even when presented new information, and they'll just reform the story, but, like, reframe the information that's coming in to fit their mold of, like, in our case, a football team.
Well, that's why.
That's not his fault. There's other reasons for that. It's like, come on, buddy.
Like, that's why I like looking at it from a gambling perspective. Because again, if you want to keep fucking, you know, reaching for the thing, you know, reaching for the trap, you're gonna keep paying for it. And if you want to be that stubborn in your biases, you're gonna pay through the nose for it. Or you can say, hey, I guess I was wrong about that guy.
That's always fun to do, and you know, I think that starts around week 4, 5, 6 is when, I mean, you can't get serious about it until really like 8-10, but like you can start to see like what trends that you thought were a thing coming into the season aren't a thing, and which ones are actual, like, there was hype about this team and they're actually following through. We'll get there.
Aside from injuries, you know, like a team can't be, you know, their season can't be ended that early. Because I always laugh with at week four, I'll always always tell somebody, look at the week four standings, then look at the end of the season standings. You're going to see complete differences. And I mean, I've had a couple times, I've definitely been hesitant myself. You know, I do a lot of the season win total things where I remember the year the Chiefs started off the year 1-4. And I'm going on, oh, yeah, I got Chiefs under 8.5 wins. Just pay me my money now. And then they reel off like fucking 10 straight wins. Right. And it's like, ah, shit.
So you want to dive into it?
We're gonna basically discuss these in terms of the divisions, the order in which we think they're in there, and then any facts of note we feel like for each team or any particular feelings or anything we're looking for out of them, if we have any little fantasy nuggets or anything.
All right. Yeah, that's the reason we're starting this way and the order we're going to go in is just determined by this piece of paper that I have in front of me that I spent 20 minutes just really alone time with me and all my football thoughts. Nothing else going on. I'm like, all right, what do I think?
Were you on the shitter?
I did shit in between. I had some thinking time there. I also did scroll through Twitter a little bit. But yeah, this is what I came up with, and I think these are actually my beliefs. And we're starting with the AFC West. Who do you think is the best team in the AFC West, or who do you think is maybe not the best team, but the team that's going to win the AFC West?
Okay, well, we'll go with the Vegas order. I'm not going to read out the exact odds because they're all so much to vary, but this one's pretty it's pretty clustered. You have the Raiders as a slight favorites. Then you have behind them, you have Kansas City. Just a little bit behind them, you have Denver. And then certainly in the back, but not really a long shot, you have the Chargers. This is a division that gives me a lot of trouble because there's glaring holes on every team in this division to me. This is
where I feel like Denver is a hole.
Denver, it's very concerning when they basically have already admitted the Paxton Lynch thing did not work out. They didn't feel good about Simeon.
Brock Osweiler back. He's not the starter, but like, look at what we did here.
Okay, let's go back to the original point which brought up with the biases. Is it possible, because Elway, you know, he had a little bit of egg on his face after Osweiler chose to leave him. Like, Osweiler was his guy. They were in the bidding on that. And then now they're getting him for what's the new contract he signed? Is he paying for like the league minimum?
Yeah, league minimum. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, because he's already getting paid from fucking Cleveland.
Right.
So.
He's still sitting on money.
580. So he might be out there where again, like, I mean, they have the talent on defense. Although it's a little, you know, strange to me the TJ Ward release. I don't know what that means there, but
didn't fit well.
We saw what happened with Trevor Siemian last year.
Simeon's not the worst, but I mean, that's.
He's not the worst.
There's holes in that offensive line. Demaryius Thomas is, if anything, declining. Same thing with Sanders. Like, these guys are the same people, but maybe potentially worse. You got CJ Anderson, sure. And that defense is starting to, I feel like, open up holes there.
They've lost some little pieces here and there where it's not. I mean,
they're a far reach from the team 2 years ago and maybe a step back from the team last year.
For right now, I mean, even with Osweiler, they're going to have difficulty scoring. And I'm not sure if this is the tip. I don't have the schedule in front of me just right now completely, but it's not, especially with some of the teams in division, we'll just say, you got to be able to put up in the mid 20 of points. And I'm not sure if I can see a Trevor Siemian led offense doing that too much.
Or Paxton Lynch led, or Brock Osweiler led.
Conversely, I mean, you have the Kansas City Chiefs, who probably are the most well rounded team in this division.
I suppose. It's fair.
I feel that
they're a professional football team for sure.
They've just gotten stale to, you know me, though. You know what they
I
are?
I thought about a couple years
they're
ago, too.
They're kind of like that, like how the Atlanta Hawks were in the Eastern Conference a couple years back. Like, this is as good as they're going to be, and I'm not sure there's enough to get them over the hump of the rest of it. But, I mean, right off the bat, they're starting off the Patriots. That could be a quick loss right there.
Mahomes can change the team, but I don't think that's happening.
I don't like that going forward, too, because, again, like, you know, Alex Smith is – I hem and haw on him where he can get you to the playoffs, he can win you a playoff game or two, but he can't win you a bunch of them. I don't know how I feel about the Tyreek Hill. I mean, the defense is definitely there. Andy Reid just doesn't trust me. Did you see Maurice Jones-Drew?
He doesn't trust you?
What's that?
Or you don't trust Andy Reid?
I don't trust Andy Reid. Right. Did you see Maurice Jones-Drew?
He seems like a trustworthy guy.
Give the coaching advantage to the Chiefs?
Yes.
And then I actually listened to him try and justify it. And, okay, maybe Andy Reid is a great game planner, but in-game coaching does matter to me, and he makes horrible decisions. What was the
time? Mostly with timeouts.
Timeout, and well, that's kind of a big deal.
That is a very big deal, but I mean, I think gameplay calling, I think Andy Reid is fine in that regard.
He does drop a good
game. He's managed to, like, make Alex Smith effective, or at least, you know, a game manager, the ultimate game manager, score enough points that he's winning games, winning 10, 11 games a year.
But then we're going to the Raiders, where again, the Raiders have, you know, they have they're the sexy team because they've got the offense that, you know, this is going to light it up. They're very fantasy relevant. They've got a star. They've got one good player on defense at least, and he's one of the best players in defense.
You know what?
Defense.
I think they're the sexy team that I overlooked as being just a sexy team, and now I'm starting to look and talk to them, and I'm like, oh, she's kind of smart. She knows her shit. Like, well, she's more well rounded than I thought, and I think there are reasons to not just write them off as just being a sick offense and Khalil Mack. I feel like Sean Smith, Reggie Nelson, as well as the safety. There's a couple guys on that defense where it's like,
see, these are just names.
They've melded. They could meld. There was a lot of free agents last year.
Okay.
And I feel like last year it was Khalil Mack and everyone else. You know, even if it is just that, and they've had another year to gel, and that offense is only going to get better. I feel like that if they're in a shootout, they're going to be able to win those games.
Well, so let me ask you, are you one of those people that, you know, like, there's two ways of looking at things. There are the way that, like, when teams like the Raiders who came back from multiple scores down and won a lot of games close, there's the idea that that's going to come back, that's going to regress to the mean.
Right.
Are you one of those guys? Or are you one of those guys who thinks that that's just the identity of this team?
That's a real thing in general, but for this team, I feel like they are maybe playing down to the level of the competition sometimes more because they were a bit younger, a bit, like, I feel like it was a fresh team last year. They were a step ahead of where they maybe should have been. Like Derek Carr, we weren't expecting them to have that season. And
I still, everything that Derek Carr, I still am, I'm probably going to go back to our original point of this, the whole bias thing. I am moving off it where I think Derek Carr is very good, but I'm not holding him in the regard. I still think he's a tier, maybe in the
middle. Not the first tier. He's not Tom Brady.
Not in the first tier, but I'm like not sure he's even.
He's not Russell Wilson either.
I don't know. For some reason about him, maybe because I lost money on him in college and I just never
never got over
it. But he's done me wrong then. And then we have the Chargers there, and obviously the Chargers are the team that if I'm playing the odds on this one, I'm actually going to go ahead and say fuck it. I'm taking the Chargers. I love Philip Rivers.
Oh, buddy,
it's so contingent on health. They're the exact opposite of the Raiders in the sense that the games that the Raiders find ways to win last year, the Chargers found ways to lose them. But I just –
there was
like,
also nobody on that offense last year.
There was nobody on that offense last year. They've got things going down now. I mean, they have also the defense built where maybe the middle of the field is going to be easy to get things on them. I don't know what the linebacking situation is completely like, but I do know that they have two good edge rushers in Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa and two good corners. And their names escape me right now. But which also too, like in Melvin Gordon, like it's one of those things I guess you got to realize where, you know, like his rookie year, I was big on him. I drafted him every fantasy team. He didn't score a single fucking touchdown. He did terrible. Then I'm like, it's like, oh, he's a bust. Even though I loved him at Wisconsin, thought for sure he was going to be good. Then last year, oh, that's who Melvin Gordon is.
Yep.
And, I mean, that could be a potentially, you know, dangerous offense with getting, you know, the two tight end set, you know, with Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry there. And if Keenan Allen can just stay healthy for a little bit, I mean, they already had, you know, suffered the one injury there. But I don't know.
If he's healthy, I think he's potentially the top receiver, like in terms of yardage. I think Philip Rivers loves him.
Okay, so
in terms of value or like just volume, last year before he got hurt, he was getting something like, I don't know, 12, 13 targets. And I feel like he had 8 or 9 at halftime when he got hurt at the other game. Like
they had that game where week one where he was owning Kansas City in Arrowhead. And that's the thing too, where Rivers kind of gets off on going on the road. Like they're opening up at Denver week one. I'll tell you right now, I'm liking the Chargers in that game.
I like the Chargers in this division. What do you got from the top?
Okay,
the
top I'm going to go to the top. I'm taking the Chargers to win the division.
Okay.
And then Chargers 1, I'm going to go Chiefs 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Raiders 3 and Broncos 4. And I'm thinking that like the Chargers at maybe like a 10-6 and a 6-10 Broncos team will go in between there.
We feel differently about the Broncos.
I hate quoting the records thing because I don't like –
no, right.
I don't
know.
There's
not
going to have a balance out there. But like, you know, they're in that area of team to me. And I'm debating whether or not I think that the Chiefs will also be a wild card team as I'm going with that. I don't have the Raiders making the playoffs.
Gotcha. I've got from the top down Raiders 12-4-ish.
Ooh, you're very bullish on the Raiders.
Yeah, Chargers 11-5-ish. Chiefs 9-7. Broncos 5-11. I think the Broncos are a bad football team.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, like I don't know. Like, but the thing is, a bad football team is a relative. You know.
I mean, in the same range as them, I've got some other teams that you're like, yeah.
They've got enough
I think they're
players on their teams to win some games, but over as a whole, I think that they're going to need a lot of things to go right. We're
in a tough division too. All right, so how about the AFC East?
AFC.
Yeah, we can probably move through this one fairly quickly.
It should be the easiest one. I mean, obviously the Patriots. Have you seen how much the odds moved on that one? Like, you know, before the Bills looked like they went into tank mode, and before the Dolphins had Jay Cutler as their starting quarterback, it was $600 to win $100 on the Patriots. Now they've got it up to $2,500 to win $100. Yeah. It's like, please, like,
Vegas has said we've had enough of this.
Yeah, we know that they're going to win this. Like, you know, you can only put so much on if you want to put that much money up there. But Patriots and their defense is concerned. I mean, I think people forget that the defense isn't exactly a powerhouse or anything. But offensively, I mean, you have Tom Brady.
I think it's a very good defense too. I think it's a top 10 defense.
Yeah, probably. I mean, well, they got the guy, Paul, you know, they put the things with their defense that it's almost kind of like how a college defense plays. That when you have an offense that can put 30 points on the board consistently, then the defense just has to make a few plays.
Like the Chip Kelly Eagles defenses.
Yeah, you just got to make some plays here and there. I mean, but at least their offense isn't, you know, they're going up tempo and stuff, but they're going to be lucrative. I mean, I just assume everybody that goes there is going to be good. I mean, go ahead. Like I said, mark it down. Gillis Lee is going to score like 5 touchdowns against the Bills this season. They just got this Philip Dorsett guy that I'm sure is – I mean, that's the thing, too. They haven't had burners on the outside. Now with Brandon Cooks and him, I mean, one thing they can do is run.
Amendola.
Yeah, they got the guys
in – not a slow person.
I mean, let's face it. I mean,
Chris Hogan's there, too, man. Chris Hogan's a slot.
You can say that losing Julian Edelman sucks because of, you know, the rapport that he has with Brady and stuff like that. But let's face it. The guy's 5 foot – you know, 5 foot –
he's a very good receiver. It's not – like, he's a – I think he was
– but they made him. They manufactured him. Like, they built these guys in fucking webs there.
He's better than Wes Welker was. He's a better football player than Wes Welker, I think.
I guess, yeah. I mean, he's better. He's got more athleticism. And they basically did the exact same thing.
In terms of production, like, Brady would go to him in the – like, the whole comeback. That, I mean, Edelman, he is what he is. He is not – he does not look like Julio Jones or, you know, Calvin Johnson or, you know, prototype wide receiver. But – in terms of – he gets it done. I mean, Antonio Brown isn't a true number one in the way he's – or Odell Beckham. They've come in different shapes and sizes, and it is Brady and Belichick making him, but he was there.
Yeah, I mean –
he was integral. I don't think the Patriots are going to lose a game.
Which I guess is a good time to be – I mean, the Patriots, yeah, they very easily – like, I'm telling you right now, it's a little gambling fund I'm starting up. I'm doing open parlays. I'm just rolling money lines on the Patriots because – okay, so, like, use this one
for me. You're still allowed to do that?
What's that?
You're still allowed to money line the Patriots right now?
We'll do it. So that's my big investment for the weekend is I got the Patriots on the money line against the Chiefs. I got Ohio State over Oklahoma, and I got the Steelers. It pays even money, those three teams, to win. They just got to win the game.
That's going to happen.
Who screws me?
Yeah, nobody's going to screw you there.
Those are the fun things. It's, like, the Patriots are one of those teams where, again, they were down 28-3 in the Super Bowl, and I was not ready to dismiss that they did not have a chance to win that game. Like,
right.
I don't know how. I mean, granted, I was drunk or whatever, but how many teams would you actually still be watching the game for?
Only the Patriots, almost. Yep. That's Tom Brady. Because I saw – you were watching them at their lowest point. It was like watching the train wreck. Once that period was over, you got Tom Brady sitting at the end of the bench looking down at us, and you're like – all right, you start doing the math in your head, and you're like, okay, all right, let's – it's like a Madden game that you're barely playing.
Oh, yeah. I had money involved. I mean, I had a stake in this, and I just kind of was going, okay. Like, a lot of things went wrong along the way, too. Like, there was really
– and then everything went right. But, yeah, so how many games do you think they're winning this year? Ish.
It's hard for me to see less than 13.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, unless they just completely get gutted with injuries, but I mean, like, all things considered, if Brady's still out there, he's out there to be the best, and that's just what it is on offense. And
I think they're just going to coast. It's only a question of whether they're going to really try to do the whole 16-0, 19-0 thing, or if they start, like, just rolling games, they're going to start pulling Brady back and just, all right, have Garoppolo. You know what I mean?
I don't know how they play. I hope not for fantasy sakes. I got Brady on the
team.
Yeah,
me too. So do I. Okay, so I have the Dolphins second.
I the Dolphins got to be second. I mean, that's
8-8-ish for me.
Again, the Dolphins maybe were a team that I did like potentially as, you know, making it back to the playoffs. They're right around that cusp of the 8-8-9-7 thing. Again, I do not think the loss of Tannehill is as big as everyone. I expected Matt Moore to be playing quarterback at some point anyways this year. Cutler.
I'm on the other side of things, and Cutler is just he's a meme. He's a walking meme right now. It's awesome.
It's great, but you know what? Like, the thing is that I think he's in on the joke. I don't think he cares.
No, smoking Jay Cutler, I'm sure he scrolls through and just laughs and likes some of them.
Like I said, he allegedly he's never smoked a cigarette, so I mean, that's got to be funny. Like, you know, he's... He,
He's pouty. Well, he's diabetic. What's not to love?
He at least knows not to. Yeah, he at least knows not to like publicly take it out or like whatever. He fucking he's.
His thing is he just looks sullen, and Philip Rivers' thing is that he has a bunch of kids. It's just it fits. It's, it makes these characters interesting, and there's a reason that Jay Cutler is still around, and I believe that some part of that is just that he's.
Again,
he's good for show business.
The thing I understand about Cutler is that I felt like that, like when he was, I wanted to be on the booth because I felt like I was going to like him. I was like one of those things, like, oh, he's actually really cool. Like,
let me tell you, John. And then he just, even though he doesn't smoke, never smoked. You just picture him. Hey, Jay, tell me about that time that you and John Fox got into it. Pulls one out. Well, John and I, you can.
No, I'd
be down to listen to a Jay Cutler
story.
I like it.
Thing, like, you know, you ever, like, actually, like, you know, like, let's look at it reverse. You know, you ever, like a girl, and, like, she's dating somebody, and you go, she's probably a douchebag. And then you meet the guy, and he's like, fuck, he's actually cool.
Yeah, he's cool. All right.
That'd be the way I feel about Cutler, you know? Like, oh, shit, he's actually cool. Like,
yeah.
I want to hate you.
Right.
I should hate you. And then, obviously, again, can you think of, I'm trying to wrap my head around this with the bottom of this. Obviously, the Bills are a 9.5-point fucking favorite over the Jets on Sunday.
The Jets are not a favorite in one game this year.
Oh, like, there's no way they can be. The Bills, I can't remember the last time the Bills were more than a touchdown favorite to anybody. So,
are you sure that didn't happen last year sometimes when, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago?
More than a touchdown, it's possible.
They've played some bad teams. Maybe there's some bad teams in the NFL. Who knows?
They haven't been great enough to really be, I mean, yeah, maybe this is...
Potentially. I legit have written down, I mean, this is for the purpose of the podcast, and I'm leaning this way, but I don't know, you know. The odds say no. Patriots 16-0, Jets 0-16. I can see
it's,
it.
I mean, the Patriots are as good as the Jets are bad.
Yes.
That's so. that is their counterpoint. So maybe that's going to be the distribution chain is going to start.
Song of fire and ass.
It's going to go. So if the Patriots go 14, like what the fuck? The Patriots are a 9-point favorite to the Chiefs.
Yep.
And the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite to the Jets. What the fuck happens when the Jets play the Patriots?
22.
It's going to be up there, but the thing is that I don't think that the Patriots will... That is a game you see Garoppolo in, probably.
Twice a year. And what if Peterman's starting later in the season for the Bills? And I have the Bills 6 wins, 5 wins.
I gave them 5. I had them at the 6 before they made all the moves. And, like, you know, would need to be a little bit lucky there. Mm-hmm. I have them on the end of 5, but I could also see this starting off... God, could you imagine if they lost that Week 1 game?
Buffalo would burn.
I mean, you've already the Bills Mafia is already in action, too. I addressed this on. This is a good time for you to bring up my show, Paying the Bills. I do another show on the Crow Media Network. The Bills Mafia, the season hasn't even started there. I remember the Barstool video of a kid jumping off the fucking roof, landing on the fucking.
Getting real hurt.
But, I mean, this Week 1 game, can you even think of, I mean, Shady McCoy and the Bills defense? That might be the only two fantasy players. Do you even trust the kicker out of this?
Do you touch Zay Jones? No. I mean, I can see, I mean, yeah, Shady McCoy. And I think Tyrod Taylor, if he was to, like, fall on the Jaguars, he would be a valuable fantasy option again.
Absolutely. Everything that they've done about the construction of this roster seems to be to go against what Tyrod...
Let's sabotage Tyrod.
It almost seems that way. But, I mean, we spent more time on this division probably things. I mean, the Jets...
Petty. The fact that neither Petty or Hackenberg can start on this team that is tanking, and they instead go with the guy that's like 38 and
you know what this is to me? This is the Curtis. This is the when Curtis Painter was the backup on the Colts, and then they signed Kerry Collins out of rehab. I mean, he was sober for a while before that, but
here's the thing: like, are you afraid that Hackenberg or Petty are going to be so good that they screw up your tank?
I don't think so.
Then why aren't you looking at these guys? Are they that bad? Have you just legit drafted people that can't play football?
I think because it affects your ability to evaluate other players that badly. Maybe that's what it is. You can't evaluate Robbie Anderson properly if you've got maybe we'll just go with that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Giving the defense a good, you know, keeping the defense in competitive in games, you know, so they're actually engaged, that could be possible. But I think this is more time that should ever have been spent on the
team. No, real quick before we leave. I got Madden, and I'm playing franchise mode, and I'm the Jets because franchise mode, if you've been playing it, you understand there's generally a template of what you should do, how you should go about business, and the game has such a short shelf life that you just pick the worst team, and soon you're good.
Can they beat a CFL team with this Madden?
I think they're like, yeah, they're actually, I feel like they're overrated. They're definitely overrated.
It's one of those, like, sometimes Madden does that. Sometimes Madden has, like, you know, like, they're, like, the bad teams are, like, 80-something. Like, and the good teams are the high 90s. And other times you have, like, where the teams are actually, right. like, in the
sleep. The Jets are, like, 73, I think. And, like, but, like, yeah, the Patriots are 90, and that's not, it should be, no, like, the no, Jets no. are, like, 64.
No, because there was a year, like, the Browns were in the 60s. No matter what, the Jets should be, like... Yeah, it should be a relative scale.
But what I'm saying, what I was trying to get to is, I made one big trade, traded 2 second-round picks and a third-round pick for Teddy Bridgewater, and I've just been lighting it up. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing I don't get with, like, that when you, like, you know, like, I mean, certain things, I mean, Sheldon Richardson trade makes sense because you're getting a draft pick out of it. You're getting somebody, do you realize that Jermaine Kearse has, like, double the receptions of the rest of the receiving corps for the Jets?
One of the best catches in Super Bowl history.
Oh, God, that was... That one had me on fucking Pensadena.
That was when we were like, the game is over. They're about to win, and that's it. Okay.
See, that's amazing. And that's the difference between if they win that game, that's the most, like, that's one of the most, that becomes, that might even trump, well, maybe it doesn't trump the Tyree catch because it wasn't the undefeated team. But
maybe it does, though.
Well, because it's still Brady, but it's not the undefeated Brady. But I feel like that, you know, had the Patriots won that game, would we care about the helmet catch anywhere near as much as we do?
I mean, no, we'd remember it like we do with the Kearse catch.
Yeah, it's like, it, like, you know, hardcore people. Okay, so, like, we've got that established. Okay. There.
So there's the East. Screw the East. We're done.
Right? Yeah, East is done.
Okay, North.
We were just talking about this a little bit here. By default, we got to start with the Steelers. Again, the Steelers are the...
For me, it's not by default. For me, it's because that offense is going to be legendary.
I just wish that the Bengals, I think, could be pretty... They've got...
They lost two starting offensive linemen. And one of them was really, really good.
They did lose the lineman? Okay, so that does suck for them.
And then it's...
I do like that. Well, geez, the odds really reflect this now. The Steelers are a -300 favorite.
Yep.
The Ravens, their defense, the Ravens' defense is very good. I kind of feel like that they're in that, because a Harbaugh, I have a hard time seeing them being bad. And the quarterback...
Yeah, I'm with you.
The quarterback situation, though, is obviously of something to be of desire. Flacco, who I'm not even a huge fan of before, I mean, you know, has he even practiced, has he, or is he?
He's ready to go, supposedly.
He's
more ready to go than Andrew Luck, and maybe slightly less ready to go than Cam Newton.
But he looks as apathetic, though, as fucking Jay Cutler, like that maybe, like, that he just kind of just make the, you know, just, I don't know if
he probably listens to My Chemical Romance. I mean, I do too, sometimes, but you know what I mean. He's one of those guys. I have Steelers 13-3-ish, Ravens 9-7-ish, Browns 6-10-ish. I think the Browns have one of the best offensive lines in football, and I think the Bengals are also going to finish 6-10. But I just, you know, as a hot takey thing, I have the Browns tying with them, and, you know, maybe taking that tiebreaker.
I think that the Browns are going to run into the problems. I mean, I think they have some talent. They have some upcoming pieces there. I think he might be jumping. This was a 1-15 team last year.
Jumping the gun
just a little bit where. You know, I think, again, the Browns for a while, they're always a team. Like, even when they don't cover the spread, it's very rare that the Browns are just getting blown out.
They were feisty last year.
They're always kind of – they stick around games. They stay with, you know, within coverings. You know, they're always within a score of the spread. And this is the fourth quarter they go. How am I supposed to expect with a rookie quarterback that's going to change this year? I mean, I like what they're doing with this.
What if he's good?
You know, hey, like, you know, they might even, you know, continue this where they didn't have the reach to get Kaiser. They got Kaiser in the second round. Why the fuck not? You know, they did the money ball thing with, you know, moving Osweiler. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously wooed them over. With him in college, I always felt he was a beat behind. I don't know how he's going to handle the NFL speed of the game so much. But you might find out that you got something there. Sam and maybe Wheaton. If you do finish, you know.
Sammy Coates.
Sammy Coates is a good player. I like him. I mean, he's obviously had a problem issue with health, I think.
Yeah.
But, Kaiser... They got the running back. Duke Johnson's
a Crowell player, and Duke liked. Johnson, I think, might be the guy by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to come to one of those things where, when they're playing against the Bengals and the Steelers, they're going to have to probably score again in the 30s, mm-hmm. Those types of games. I'm not sure they have them there. Again, they have some pieces coming up, but I have the more around like the 3-4 win territory. Gotcha. Where, again, if they decide they like Kaiser, then if they finish in the top five and they have that draft pick there, they could potentially trade that and turn it into more pieces and really accelerate this process that they're doing.
Absolutely.
Ravens are not feeling so – I would probably put the Bengals as my second. I think that they're off. I mean, losing the lineman obviously does kill, but
chances are they're going to be better than the Browns.
They've got – I mean, you know, Joe Ross being back there. If you can actually have someone on the other side of A.J. Green, like, AJ Green, like, when you, like, listen to, like, people in that division talk, that he's uncoverable by anyone in that division for the most part.
He might. He's probably the – if I had gun to my head, who's leading the NFL and just – volume receiving stats, most of them.
And if you
AJ
can put Burner on the other side like this Ross guy, and honestly, I mean, Joe Mixon, I mean, again, not a good guy.
Gio Bernard is a good pass catcher out of the backfield.
Not a good guy, but you got a first-round talent and a second-round pick because you may have done something wrong.
Tyler Eifert's great.
Did something wrong. Tyler Eifert, when he's healthy, is out there. It's just all, I mean, it's all...
Being drunk.
I mean, Andy Dalton, I waver on, again, the red rifle. And when he has weapons around him, he does get to the playoffs. He's kind of proven he's a 9-7, 10-6 guy.
The Dalton line.
He's got the weapons around him. So I could see it being a little more top-heavy, like maybe seeing the Ravens being like 7-9 and then seeing the Browns at the 4-win mark or something like that.
Gotcha. How about the South?
The South, this is the one where I exploited a little opportunity on here. So obviously a lot of shit's going on here where there's no talking yourself into the Jaguars anymore. Everyone's off that scent.
No, we're chilling. Yeah, I think 7-9-ish for them. I think they're not going to be a – that's a good defense.
7-9 is even talking yourself into it. I feel like
they're playing the Colts twice.
That's just become a thing. We were kind of getting into this where Indianapolis, it's so tough to forecast where they would be. I mean, if you told me a year of healthy Luck, which again I'm not even the biggest Andrew Luck guy.
They're still bad,
but he can probably still will you to an 8-8, 9-7.
Maybe
record.
Yeah.
But without him, we don't know what stretch now. I mean, he's off the pup list, so they assume he's
in the next 6 weeks. Yeah.
When can you ever think of a guy in a sport like this that you just don't know anything?
Coming into the season, you're like, he might be ready to play football.
Like, he might not. Like, he's – okay, Scott, we just traded for another quarterback.
Yeah, he's supposedly a backup. So, all right. But we have plans for him.
Yeah,
okay.
Because Scott Tolzien, and like, where –
that's a bad team.
We traded a weapon.
They're like 4-12.
We traded a potential weapon of his. I bet them at over under 8.5 wins.
Eight and a half?
I bet them under 8.5. It's now only down to 7.5, which I heard other podcasts saying 6.5, but I'm seeing 7.5.
That's
now
silly.
On my book. But the thing is that, I mean, so like I was mentioning to you, the betting strategy I had, so you have two other teams in this division. We have the Texans, and we have the Titans. And I believe it's a two-team race between them. I can get both of those two at plus money. Why would I not bet both of them and just play the odds that one of those two teams wins the division? Because I think that that's where we're heading to. I personally like the Titans, but I feel like that's a bit too sexy of a pick.
I'm with you. I felt the same way about them as I did about the Raiders. I glanced at them. Yeah, I get it. They're supposed to be good. And then I looked again, and yeah, they're good.
Their roster's good. It's just the Mike Mularkey, the coaching.
Yeah,
character.
He's not a
There's
good
a
coach.
Lot of people that have, you know, that seem to – he keeps finding work in this league, so he must be a really likable guy. Mm-hmm. But I don't really – when I watch his teams and game plans, like, he's had some really good personnel before. And for this alleged offensive genius, I'm not seeing it
not
done
so
just yet, but – They have
the talent now. They got the line. There's no reason
it
shouldn't
work. I'm hoping maybe the Smashville carryover from the Nashville Predators. You know, the whole team bonding thing. I mean, like, that was the thing.
Mariota, I guess, is the coolest guy ever.
Yeah, Mariota. Like, Mariota doesn't drink, but he'll designate.
He's
drink,
with the boys. He's always down for the cause.
Like, there is nothing worse than the person like I can't when I don't drink. I can't be around people that drink because it makes it noise the fuck out of me. But the
right.
fact he's like cool, like, you know, like he'll just laugh at his friends getting drunk. Like, he's like the goose. He's
yeah.
the goose of the group.
Absolutely.
You know? Like,
wow. There's a guy we know that fits that mold. And he's a great dude. That's incredible. That's great. And I do feel like they do feel like a team. I don't feel good about Mularkey. Just looking at the players, I feel great about Jokel and Jarrell. And, man, that whole offensive line as a unit. Corey Davis?
What are you talking about the Titans right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, the chemistry, the talent, don't love the coach. I think that's good enough to win the division. I have them 12-4-ish. I think they're going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a beat ahead of where I have. I think I was thinking more of like.
I'm following offensive lines right now, really.
Offensive lines. That we go. I mean, I also like what they've got as far as playmakers at the backfield. I mean, they've got the depth of that. Delanie Walker is. I mean, the biggest thing when they get in the red zone, they're coming away with points. Mariota does not turn the ball over. He still has yet to throw an interception in the red zone, I believe, in his career.
Wow.
I'll
take your word. Yeah.
If he has, it's only about one. Delanie Walker, who I always love, is
Valley
one of the most underappreciated fantasy tight ends. But if he falls, like. I took Kelsey in a draft this year, but like if Delanie Walker falls to me, I'm like I feel like I got a good guy out there.
Absolutely.
Rishard Matthews, he looks like he should be good. That name sounds like he should be good. A lot of people are.
He sounds like an NFL receiver. Absolutely.
When you see pictures of him, you see him running routes.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he should.
That guy's good at football.
So let's see if maybe he becomes the emerging weapon. You know, the one stud.
Maybe we see more Derrick Henry. Maybe it's more of a split. Maybe DeMarco Murray does well and Derrick Henry does well.
Yeah, you know, Derrick Henry vultures touchdowns with DeMarco Murray.
I can see that, absolutely.
He's just such a weapon. And again, Mariota, he's athletic and he's, you know, the guy there. And it's crazy, you know, thinking, you know, that him and Jameis actually, you know, played in that national title game together and those guys.
They're linked in my head, just like Eli Roethlisberger and Rivers are.
But the fact that they actually played in a playoff game against each other, too, even adds to it more. I still think Jameis is the better player, but we'll have time to discuss.
Man, I'm not sure. I'm starting to have – I felt that way initially. And I still love Jameis, but the door is open for me to accept Mariota as being like MVP candidate. Good.
There's a little bit more maturing that I think needs to be done on Jameis's part when we get there.
Yeah.
But I like his, you know, the raw.
Oh, he's a leader in the truest sense. It's incredible.
You know, like Mariota's the cool guy. You know, lead by example. You know, like I'll go to battle for you, but like you know, like I'm
people
not going to get you
flock around Jameis.
I'm not going to get pumped. Yeah. Which do we want to? No, we assume we're all done with the.
We'll finish that. We'll go.
Okay,
to the
so we got the order there. It was a pretty universal: Tennessee, Houston, Indy, Jacksonville. Or you got Jacksonville ahead of Indy.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville's a better team than Indy.
Yeah, you know
what does Indy have that you like?
Really nothing. In fact,
Jacksonville has a bunch of players on defense. They have, you know, Malik Jackson and a full defense. I'm sorry, I'm blanking right now, but
I also forgot there's a little bit of Coughlin love going on here, maybe, perhaps.
No, really. I wish Coughlin brought in Kaepernick. I don't want to go down that whole rabbit hole, but I think why are we still starting Blake Bortles? Everyone has decided he's
bad.
Let's start Chad Henne maybe for a little bit and – If you're not going to get Kaepernick.
They bothered me from the get-go of when they drafted Blake Bortles, of when they had his predecessor coming in was Chad Henne. I'm like, this isn't good because with Bortles, I saw there were some things he needed to work on coming out of college. And I was like, if Chad Henne's a starting quarterback, then you know what? He's going to end up playing way too soon. And the fact that Bortles has not gotten better at all because he's getting, like, you just not had the 10,000 hours, we'll call it. You know?
Yeah.
The fact that now it's in his head. Yeah. He's
a broken person. I think he needs maybe he can be better somewhere else. He can be reborn. Maybe, probably not. He's Blake Bortles. But I think he's dead. I mean, you just got a dead guy playing quarterback or throwing interceptions for you.
I mean,
and
you
have a defense.
You
I think that's still better than what the Colts have.
You start becoming the Christian Ponders. You start fitting into that thing where, you know, at the end of the season when people are hurt, we need a spot starter here and there, you know, or like Josh Freeman. Like, again, guys who at one point in time maybe showed a little bit of promise here and there, but no, still not seen out of Bortles.
Gotcha. And I think the Texans are going to be 10-6. I think that defense is going to be sick to watch with Clowney and Watt.
You know, I mean, do we have the whole thing actually too, or maybe? I mean, I could see them being. I'm going to have this playoff team because they're going to be Houston. It's going to be the Houston strong thing. You know, like
it is.
That's
going to
be
there.
A rallying thing. I mean, JJ Watt. Like, here's the thing. Now is that I was like neutral on JJ Watt, but you know, people that like kind of used to like. They didn't hate J.J. Watt. They, like, sports hated J.J. Watt.
Yeah, for sure.
Now you can't even do that anymore.
No, he's the man.
I mean, yeah, hats off to him. You know, good job. God bless. You know, he's got the money to do it.
Him and Jadeveon Clowney right now, and he's supposedly healthy. That's something special. If that's a thing, and I feel like that's getting
–
we're not expecting that, but, like, that's on the table. Almost like if players on the 76ers stay healthy. You know, it's one of those, like –
I mean,
is J.J. Watt still J.J. Watt?
The thing I go with, if I'm the Texans, why would you – I mean, Watt looks big enough that you line him and Clowney down on the same side. You line up Watt in the trenches. Or even Clowney, I mean, shuffle around, shift it. You need –
get creative with it.
You need four guys to block those two realistically, yep. You know, now that Clowney can't –
and Merciless is on the other end. They don't have any cornerbacks. They got rid of their cornerbacks.
Yeah, but in that division, is that – well, against the – I mean, so week one. I mean, that's a game I don't even know how I feel about right now. Week one.
We'll get there. I mean –
okay,
but
we're going to go
– but who is it right now real quick?
They're playing the Jaguars. And it's Tom Savage versus the Jaguars, so
– I think Tom Savage is going to be fine. I think let me put this –
how long do you think before Deshaun Watson is starting quarterback?
I'm not sure, but is it hard to believe – imagine a scenario where he takes over, leads them into the playoffs, and suddenly it's – that team is – uh-oh. Like, they could be better than the Titans.
You know what? I think what's going to happen is I think they're going to wait. DeAndre Hopkins is starting with the year hurt, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Okay, yep.
He's missing a few weeks. I don't think they want Watson out there without a fully healthy offense.
Just wheeling him out there. Makes sense to me.
As best you can. And with Savage, at least maybe you get just enough of...
I'm ready for Savage. Tom Savage is...
Kind of how the Broncos are going to want to try to play games, only I think I like the Texans' ability to do it better based on the division.
Sounds good.
So then, okay. So
that's the South, huh?
So you're gonna? I mean, that's our big ballsy thing. Is that you think that the Colts are gonna be worse than the Jaguars?
I don't even think that's ballsy. I think that's like established, especially if Andrew Luck isn't playing.
That's, I mean, that's the one category.
I mean, say, let's say Andrew Luck misses four games. I think maybe they finish 10-6. I don't think he's not going to carry this team.
I think that your most ludicrous prediction so far is a 7-9 Jaguars. That's most. I mean, but I might have weirder.
Weirder
coming up. We're going to the NFC now. Or NFC?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll go to the NFC, and we'll start with the West. So I think without much conversation, I've the Seattle up top.
You know, this is where I'm getting a little weird on this one. I'm not so high on Seattle. Seattle's clearly making a move towards it. Still don't trust the offensive line.
Yeah, that's fair.
I love Russell Wilson, but with the offensive line concerns, and I'm almost starting to wonder if he's going to have to do too much. Where, I mean, a guy that I was just laughing at this, seeing that Doug Baldwin is really considered. You know, we were talking about, like, you know, the guys being considered number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Baldwin was the guy who everybody in fantasy had on their team at one point in time.
He won me a championship last year,
and then he caught. Was it last year? Or was it 2 years ago? Or is it both years that he's been good? I know he has one year where he like legitimately caught like 10 touchdowns in like 6 weeks or something.
Last year he had 1,100 with 7 touchdowns, and the year before that he had 1,000 with 14 touchdowns.
Yeah, that was when he went touchdown crazy at the end there. I mean, so all right, maybe he's been like a little player.
94 receptions last year.
Yeah, but I mean, offensively they didn't.
I mean, Russell Wilson's on the run. I just think he's better suited to do so than like Andrew Luck, and he can get by. Even if that offensive line is eh. I think that defense is super, super good, and they just added one of the best defensive players. Like, Sheldon Richardson's a top 10 player of his position.
Maybe I'm talking.
There are 8 out of 11 players on the defense that have made a Pro Bowl.
I guess that's what just
and
makes
like
me.
Five of them have been playing with each other for the past 5 years.
I guess it's just that little difference part, I guess, where I as far as going all the way, the offensive line just scares me. So, all right.
That's fair. I mean, I'm usually an offensive line guy, too. And I have so much faith in Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and that defense, mostly that defense. I feel like the window may be closing on it, but it's definitely still open. And last year, don't forget, Earl Thomas was out. Earl Thomas is, I think, the most important player on that defense. Better than Cam Chancellor.
He takes away a lot of the field. He makes it, yes. So.
Yeah, up top. I think, I feel very, very strongly about Seattle. I'm 13-3-ish.
13-3-ish. I would still probably go more of like the 11-5-ish, just because, again, like there's going to be games where, that's one of those things where they've been lucky that they haven't had to play without Wilson. I think that
without Wilson, absolutely.
And I just get worried that at some point,
he's in better shape than he's ever been. He's like kind of, you know how Jordan with the, you know, those Pistons, the bad boy, and then he started lifting and doing all that kind of stuff. That's generally the approach that Russell Wilson is taking right now, is what I've heard. In a diet, workout, he's, you know.
Oh, I get it. But body has changed. I mean, at this point now, I mean, we're only talking, the only guys that don't get hurt at this point in their careers have been like, you know, the Eli's, and the Peytons and the Tom Brady's, the guys who literally are just in the pocket. And you know, I mean, Wilson does not get hit for the most part, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just have a concern with that one, but I could see, you know, maybe him missing a game or being banged up again and playing on one leg for a little stretch of time here and there. I mean, right off the bat, that's a tough game. They start with week one, which we'll get at some point, but you know,
sure.
Open up in Green Bay. Here's where it's going a little crazy, and I can't believe this. I don't even like the quarterback. But I'm talking myself into the Cardinals or the Rams.
The Rams?
The Rams
okay.
being second place team in the division.
Let's hear it.
I'm almost thinking of getting.
Why? New coach.
The new coach.
That's not Jeff Fisher. That's pretty great.
That's like, again, like the coach war thing. Like,
He's a minus 3.
I think they used to call it the wins above Caldwell or something on Simmons' podcast. You know, like, whatever it is. Wins above any coach like that. Already off to, you know, better improvement there. I start going with the thing where I just didn't think he was worth a number one pick.
A lot of people
was
don't think he's a quarterback.
I'm not so sure either, but maybe moving on from him is better. But they now have some weapons in place around there. I mean, having Sammy Watkins, you have a legit guy. Where, I mean, I'm looking like right now. Let's look at some luck of the draw right now. They're playing the Colts Week 1 with Scott Tolzien at a home game. Like that's a win. That's potentially a win right there.
It's probably a win. Absolutely.
Most likely a win there. So then, and then I can
see the defense is good.
The defense
and
is always they were
offensive
always,
line. They shored up. They actually stole Whitworth, I believe, from the Bengals, the left tackle.
They were always an 8-8 team.
They just got rid of Jeff Fisher. And, I mean, I think Jared Goff is the guy I can't get over, just like with you, the offensive line with Seattle. I think there is talent there, and I think Gurley's going to be running behind a much better offensive line. You'll probably see an uptick in his efficiency.
I find that
Tavon Austin.
Make things a little better. Well, I mean, it allows Tavon Austin to be the player that he was supposed to be more than, you know, where you actually have a legit number one receiver type, like, you know, mm-hmm. with Watkins, like,
he
a
can
guy
do
who,
the
you know, stretches the field
thing.
One way. Well, then that opens up the middle of the field for Tavon Austin. And, you know, it's
yeah.
It gives them a new refreshment. And maybe
like
the jerseys.
What Victor Cruz had with Hakeem Nicks for me. I mean, from my perspective, this is like you have the guy on the outside, and then you can just have your guy, like, he's freed up to just run routes in the middle. Like, Edelman, you could say the same thing about, or just, you know, any slot receiver. That's the situation you want to be in.
But, no, Gurley, I think that, you know, obviously he's great 1 year, bad the next year.
Bad offense. Bad
I guess like what I'm going into is that also I don't like Arizona that much. And a lot of people
I'm lukewarm on Arizona. I think they're the second best team in this division, 9-7-ish.
I see that. I can see the Cardinals.
I think Carson Palmer's fine. I think that offense
the Cardinals
is fine.
Have a higher.
They have a pretty good defense.
They have a higher ceiling, but the floor is more stable than with the Rams I'm getting at, where I can see things very good. The Cardinals, I mean, Carson Palmer, I mean, he's not young. I mean, again, these types of guys were.
Drew Stanton.
Not young.
Could be Drew Stanton.
David Johnson doing a lot. I mean, you know, like.
Doing a lot. You can see things going wrong.
Let's see if he has two more years of this, that, you know. Bruce Arians has had his problems. I mean, just.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a weird.
Yeah, I feel you.
That they may have. They missed their window.
You could easily. It's like the car that's rattling on its way. Like, at any point, there's any one of these wheels could come off.
Okay, so I just thought of one right now. Is it? What do you think is going to be worse? Is it possible? Because wasn't that game between the Cardinals and
the Seahawks
last year, the Sunday night
game?
The
best/worst game of all time.
And are we thinking that the Bills-Jets is going to be along that magnitude? Or
This is different because we're going into it expecting a comedy. Like an unintentional comedy, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is we're going into that. Like, even if you're just going
to... like MXC. You ever used to watch that show?
Rates, after about a quarter of that game, it was pretty obvious we were heading that way. But... So we're split on there. That was where I was going a little different. Where I have to you have to stir the pot up a little.
No,
bit.
No, yeah, I feel you. I had the Browns above the Bengals. That was pretty
dumb. You had the Browns above the Bengals too.
I had them having the same record, like both finishing 6-10, and Browns having a tiebreaker.
And
that was my hot take.
Jaguars having a better record than the Colts. Too.
I think I bet if you ask Vegas right now, I think the Colts. I think probably the Colts do have better odds than the Jaguars, huh?
Okay,
maybe that is a hot take.
No. I mean, hey, no. It's not a hot take when you back up with reason. I mean, I just gave you the Rams. I mean, this is all contingent on Aaron Donald being there, but I could see some things, you know, shaking. They've always just been a tough out, and if they can get anything out of the quarterback position, where they can't get worse than they were before, they can only get better.
Man, I don't know. I think when you unleash Jared Goff, if that happens, we might see some ugly, ugly things.
Well, again, we'll
see.
We'll take
Stay tuned.
Time. Hopefully, you know, again. They get an easy win.
Then I got the 49ers as the worst team in this division.
49ers the worst team, but making some steps in the right direction.
They mean
well.
They got
Pierre Garçon, okay? That's 75. I mean, like, you know.
Kyle Shanahan can call plays, and Hoyer can play quarterback.
Somewhat, I mean, you know.
Hoyer the Destroyer. That was a year. That was a thing that happened out in Cleveland.
But, yeah, I was all about Brian. In fact, here's the funny thing, too, is I can actually say that I can still say I won this argument. Because I got into a fight with somebody actually, it was Nate Keenan, our bartender buddy. We got into a little argument, and this is when E.J. Manuel's his rookie, and I said, in 5 years, you would rather have Brian Hoyer as your quarterback than E.J. Manuel. And we got into it over that.
And he really felt strongly.
He
had the Bills glasses on, the Zubas glasses on.
I think I went with that one.
Absolutely. Let's ring it.
Okay, ding. So
yeah, that's the West for you, right?
49ers, yeah. I think, I mean, again, they're making some strides, better, like about a 5-win team or so.
There is the West. Okay, let's go to the East.
East, this is the one.
Let's talk about my Giants. All right, let's get this out of the way real quick. A disclaimer.
Can we agree the Redskins are at the bottom of this at least?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we got that much established.
I don't think they're that bad. I think they're like 6-10, 7-9, 8-8.
They got to be the whipping post of the division. Somebody's got to be, and I think it's going to be them.
Yeah. Yeah, they have holes. And so I am having trouble separating objective Jim and Giants Jim. I always have. This has been the team, like, stop me where you will. I have the Giants winning this division.
I here's where I go at it. Like, I told you that I looked at the odds of this one. So this is what they have. The Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. So they have the Cowboys at +185 and the Giants and Eagles at both at +200.
I like
so
the
basically,
too.
Just the
I don't, but, you
just
know.
The slight favorite, you know, this to the Cowboys, probably because America's team or whatever.
Right,
but
no, they were hot. Like, they were super good last year.
It also does help that the fact that, I mean, now Ezekiel Elliott does play Week 1 against the Giants. If there's ever a game, you know, that's
like last year. Well, when Week 1 when we stopped them. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going there.
No, are you getting a fan mode? No, the Giants.
That's a top five defense. I think it's the second best defense in the league.
I love Landon Collins. I think Landon Collins is absolutely amazing.
JPP.
JPP.
Olivier Vernon.
Which, by the way.
Damon Harrison.
Like, can there be, like, a limit of how many times a meme can be shared on social
media? The JPP stuff?
The JPP one, like, at what points, you know, like, what time?
Retired memes, that's a thing.
Like, within, like, about a two-hour span, I was sick of seeing the JPP meme with, you know, the Madden, like, not being accurate thing.
Right.
That's just a side rant, but, you know, like.
No, we can talk memes. I mean, memes are life, man.
Oh no, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know,
the whole thing about memes.
Yeah, no, I mean that's everything. I mean, you know, there's going to probably be, you know, I'm sure there's probably going to be a crying Jordan meme after Sunday's Cowboys Giants game. There will be somebody with a crying Jordan meme. That one still has not died.
I love that they open the season against each other like all the time.
It's a must. It's always going to be the Sunday night game. And I think
the Jets have a top 5 defense.
I mean, legitimately, it's going to come down to with no Zeke for 6 games. I give the nod to the Giants. But the Giants, I can't trust a team with Eric Flowers.
Eric Flowers, yeah.
That's a real thing for me there.
And Bret Hart.
And then Eli too. Again, I mean, like I know you love him.
Yeah, might be on the decline. That could happen.
No, but he makes you feel good at times, but there's a lot of times.
If Eli's under pressure, I feel scared. Very, very scared all the time.
Okay, so.
Like, as soon as, the last few years, like, pretty much since 11, the past 5-6 years, since that core offensive line broke up, and Eli's just been, oh, shit, having that, like, what's going on face. Like, Eli under pressure is not a great quarterback. But with Eli with decent protection, he can deal with like pressure here and there, but like you can rattle his clock. But there are times you can't. I mean, there was a time, you know, the 49ers game. We'll talk about that was the ultimate. Like he got his clock rattled and he stuck in there. But like there have also been times where just
that was a young Eli though. I mean, that's
a younger Eli. Yeah, that's a 30-year-old Eli instead of a 36-year-old Eli.
That's and trust me, someone who's 32 now, not 30. Those 2 years
for
have
sure.
already meant something. So I can't imagine what the 6 feel, you know.
But. Yeah, that's really the question. How far do the Giants go? How well does the offensive line play?
I mean,
that those two things are just linked. That's if the Giants have great offensive line play, the Giants are like going to be in the Super Bowl. Like if they have great offensive line play, they won't. But I think like if all other things, you know what I mean? That's an incredible team right there.
And I mean, I know that I placed a bet for a friend of mine at 15-1 odds for them. I placed it.
That's where they're at.
Heads on for the Giants. I mean, I can't say because it's happened before. The years that I didn't expect it to happen, it did. So I can't rule that out. The Cowboys certainly, again, just based on how you get last year, health was, you know, they had on the plaza that they lucked into. I mean, we will never know if, you know, Tony Romo never gets hurt.
Right.
What the hell, you know, happens?
I think I was a big Tony guy. It's sad to see him go, but yeah, that killed it.
That killed it. I mean, Zeke is out there. I mean, the offensive line say great. I mean. Honestly, I'll tell you
Lyle
one thing.
I
wouldn't be shocked if Dez Bryant is not very good. It is starts really like falling off as far as
I think. I don't know. It's weird. It is something different with him. It's like something's missing, but it just might just be targets and like the way that Dak was playing was super efficient last year. He was definitely a good quarterback and what they tried to do, but like they weren't pushing the ball downfield to Dez like they do to AJ Green. And I don't know if that's a knock against Dez Bryant or. Just, hey, this is what we got going on with the Cowboys. We're just going to run for 5 yards of carry and then just throw it the super efficient, you know.
But, I mean, we'll see what happens. Because, again, that could be the difference. Where I mean, ultimately, okay, I would say that I think the Cowboys, with Zeke Elliott for a full season, I would take the Cowboys to win this division again. Or I would at least put them.
What about let's talk about that defense, though.
I would put them over the Giants. Well, because, again, they find the way to put the game in their favor by they can shorten the game.
Oh, true. Yeah, if they can just milk the clock and just crush, run the ball, yeah.
That became keeping the defense off the field. That
the defense
was, that
is
was
noticeably
the
worked
that was working
last year,
for them.
It worked last year.
It was going. Maybe they also stayed healthy there. Plus, I mean, they've got some returns coming in there now. Like you know, Jalen Smith, I believe his name mm-hmm. is, or whatever the one.
And the whole defensive line is suspended right now. I believe
that is a problem.
They have like 7 new corner or like you know their secondary is entirely new. McAdoo actually made a joke about it yesterday.
Oh, great!
He said like if you could tell me who's playing cornerback for them, that would help me out.
Now, do we give the Eagles – if the Eagles had a different coach
– I feel differently about them because of Peterson. Because
I remember watching the Eagles – I bet the Eagles against the Giants last year. And you know damn well that if any rational minded – like you probably had the sweat factor going on as a Giants fan. That one that was special.
Oh, yeah.
And
the Eagles scare me. They always have.
They have something going on where I feel like the Eagles have always beat the Giants. The Giants have always beat the Cowboys. It's there's like a weird order of how that division works. The Redskins, though, for me, just don't have, you know, they've lost way too much on offense. I don't like what's going on with the idea that the front office and Kirk Cousins really just keep, you know, battling out there. I think
it's
Jordan,
top down, and the top is terrible, man.
Jordan Reed, you know, has been a bit of a health concern with that. Defensively, I don't know who they're stopping so much, but yet they seem to find a way to beat the Eagles, so.
Yeah, and the East is always fun. I've enjoyed it, being rooting for a team in there. So I got the Giants up top, and then the Cowboys right after that. Like 10-6, Eagles 9-7, Redskins 7-9.
You know, I'll go with the Giants with you there. I'll even spice it up a little bit. I'll fuck it. Fuck the Cowboys. I'll go with the Eagles. Let's
have some. Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, it would be such a Cowboys move, wouldn't it be, to not make the playoffs this year?
Absolutely.
Like
Jason, you know, Garrett
goes. Garrett gets fired.
Yeah.
Me not being able to hang out with, you know, some of our friends that, you know, that are Cowboys fans, you know, because they become unbearable. They just, you know.
Dak Prescott becomes a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe somebody gets hurt for once. I'm not saying that.
I don't even know if I can back this up. Yeah, let's go with the Cowboys being 8-8. Yeah, let's do that. That's gonna be good. 6-10 Redskins, and then we'll go with I'll give you a 10-6 Eagles team and 11-5. Yeah, sure, whatever like that. I'll go. How about this one? My one prediction. I'll say I think the Eagles will be better than the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think they could be, but I don't have.
And then that kills me because Eagles fans are. Quite unbearable.
They're pretty bad. Yeah. So there's the East. All right, let's go to the North.
The North, let's face it.
How strongly do you feel about the Packers?
I don't feel that strongly.
I feel pretty strong just because of the offense.
I feel the offense is going to be – I have an issue with Ty Montgomery being the starting running back.
Yeah, they don't have a running back. That's different.
Are they just completely just going that we just have the best quarterback? We're just going to just let him just.
We're going to do Madden stuff, and he's going to extend plays. And they've got a good line now, and they got Martellus Bennett, and they've got Jordy healthy and Randall Cobb, and they're just going to party, man.
Yeah, I mean, they've got
Davante Adams. Whew.
I mean, again, they didn't even have a really good. James Stark was their running back that when they won the Super Bowl. So
he's pretty close to an actual running back.
But I mean, I'd feel better if a guy who was wearing number 30 something,
yeah.
You know, or 20 something, right. Not 80 something, was in the backfield, but. Maybe that just becomes a new, you know, just added wrinkle there. I like the Vikings.
You like the Vikings?
I think that the Vikings could, because here's the thing. I don't like the Lions and I don't like the Bears. Okay. And the Vikings, I'm telling you right now, this I'm making this my pick right now. I've got Dalvin Cook, one of the Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
I like the idea that they shore up the offensive line a little bit. He's a little bit of a playmaker. The defense is very good. I think at some point, I mean, is there a chance he's back at all this year?
There is a small chance. It hasn't been ruled out entirely, and he's, you know, busted his ass.
I mean, Sammy B can get you to those couple, he can keep you competitive, because, again, I don't like what's going on. I don't think that Detroit or Chicago are going to be very good.
Chicago's bad. I think we'll talk about Detroit.
I have let's say, like a 9-7 Vikings team and, like, a 4-win Bears team, and maybe like a 6-win Lions team. Packers themselves, I mean, yeah, we just brought up the Seahawks. Week one, that's a – I mean, someone's taking a loss in that game.
Yeah.
And I feel like that no matter what, the Packers do have that one kind – they always do have they have that rut. You know, they really have only had that one –
Things don't always go as well and as smooth for them as it should, kind of like the Steelers a lot of the times. I feel like the Steelers in the NFC this year and in the past, really. I mean, I feel like they've – always been like, I've got both of them like 14-2, like 13-3, like 12-4, like that range of being a really, really good team. But year after year, it's Tomlin doing something, and then they talk about how safe is his job for 4 weeks, and then they come back and then they go out on a run. Or we talk about Mike McCarthy, and then we throw microphones in Aaron Rodgers' face and ask him if he's going to go on a run the table.
I mean, this is all contingent on health right now that they're healthy.
Yeah.
But they went through a stretch. I mean, there was a point in time that they were just bad last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rodgers is only is as good as he is, and he, you know, obviously did will them to the victories he did. But I don't know. I mean, is there secondary anything really to? I mean, I'm just thinking about how bad that
Clay Matthews is actually a bad football player. It seems like now.
Yeah, I mean, like that's. I mean, I'm just thinking about how that defense. I mean, obviously the Falcons' offense last year was of historic proportions. Mm-hmm. But they just had not a fucking chance in hell of getting them off the field, and I mean that they're gonna have games where maybe, you know, Rodgers isn't clicking just completely. You know,
I could see that.
He has off games. It does happen, you know.
Like, just like the Cowboys, you know. There's always that shadow of a doubt with any team, really. Well, I mean, that's not the Patriots.
Also, there's a case with the Giants where Eli has off seasons.
Yeah. Well, Eli, I could easily imagine a scenario where this year Eli, with the wheels come off and things get sad for a bit. And then it's like the next couple of years.
You look really sad just like thinking about it. Like, it's actually going through your head right now.
It is. I can see that. But honestly, just as much I can picture Eli being the old grizzled dude that chills for another 3-4 years, throws for 4,000 yards, 20-something touchdowns, 20-something picks.
Actually, you know what kind of kills me right now? You kind of have a little Jay Cutler to you right now.
Yeah? I look like Jay Cutler?
You got a little comb over just to the...
Should I light a cigarette? Yeah. No.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, the Vikings just always seem to give the Packers some, you know, I mean, been in trouble there. Give defense.
Mike Zimmer's a great coach.
Yeah. And I do love... I think Dalvin Cook is going to be Rookie of the Year. I took a flyer on him. I bet him at just a $10 bet. 50-1 odds that Dalvin Cook leads the league in rushing.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean he's going to get a lot of play. I mean, Fournette's going to get a lot of carries too, but that's a terrible offensive line, and the chances are the Jaguars aren't. I mean, he's going to get his volume, but like I feel like not as much as Cook. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about that.
Because, I mean, again, like I don't really – what's the strong defense in that – in that division?
I'd say the Vikings definitely have the strongest defense. The Bears actually have a good defense, and it's getting better. Guys, back from injury, and I believe they made a couple signings. Like, the Bears have Pernell McPhee's there.
I just don't try. For some reason, the Bears, maybe because I watch Bears games, I pay more. They just seem like they have the worst luck with injuries. Like, I've already expected three of those guys to be out the first half of the first game.
Yeah, they don't have an offense, really. They're kind of...
Actually, I hope not, because I have a feeling of that game. So, no, but the Bears are they're an up and comer team. I
think Trubisky could be fun. How long do you think before he starts?
I don't know, because his week one to week two like really looked like two completely different guys there. I was not so big on him coming out of college, just because he had the limited sample size and then just the stuff with
the little rumors that you heard that like he didn't. It was like a maturity. He didn't. I think he was one of the guys that you heard he couldn't break a huddle or something like that.
Yeah, and then
he didn't know.
The taking snaps under center and then. I don't like the change of Mitchell. Maybe I'm just being that finicky, but I just haven't had the greatest feeling about him.
It's a pretty silly little news story.
Well, it's a thing though. Like
it is a thing.
It does matter to me. But
it's like if Andy Dalton became Andrew and started doing his hair different.
I think that they're comfortable. I mean, they're off the bat, didn't they have that was the Chargers that had the wide receiver first round pick. Get hurt. They're getting Kevin White back, actually, their first round pick from last
Meredith,
year.
Are you talking?
Oh yeah, Cameron Meredith. That's right. That's they did lose a receiver there. Mm-hmm.
So the Bears are bad.
Lions.
Let's talk about the Lions. I think Matt Stafford throws a lot of footballs. I think he's like a lot of people. I can't remember what podcast I've heard it on, but it's been multiple ones, and I've felt some. Dude, this guy's a gunslinger. It's a bad football team, sure. The offensive line could be better. I think it's like mediocre. And then you got Golden Tate, who is a good receiver. You've got Amir Abdullah, the potential's there, whatever. But my everything about this team is Jim Bob Cooter and Matt Stafford.
Do you know that I heard the last time he had a 100-yard rusher was Reggie fucking Bush?
That's wild.
It's like that couple of years ago. That's
pretty insane. Yeah, the Lions have kind of just been toiling in this terrible, like, just mediocrity outside of Matt Stafford. Don't you feel like you throw on Thanksgiving and he's down three touchdowns and then he's out there slinging? And it's garbage time sometimes. He was, before Blake Bortles, the king of garbage time. But last year they actually started winning games, and there was actual Matt Stafford MVP talk.
No, there
for
was.
Like 8 weeks.
There was, actually, no. And it was legitimate because he was kind of keeping the – they're not a good football team. I mean,
they're not.
I mean, the fact that he was
and Jim Caldwell's their coach. So
that's it. I mean, they don't have any help there. And let's face it, he really got royally screwed with Calvin Johnson retiring.
Yeah,
I mean, that
I don't
was the
blame
one year,
Johnson, but
he has.
Sucks.
I mean, he's made the playoffs, and in fairness to him, I mean, the first playoff game he played was at New Orleans when at the Superdome, when that was just not somewhere you were winning,
right?
And he had the game that he probably should have won in Dallas, depending on how you look at the interpretive of the ruling. So, I mean, he's done it. I mean, like, that's the whole thing. I don't care how much he's making. You know, like, he's got the biggest contract. Whoever signs the next contract as a quarterback is going to be the highest paid quarterback. Just know that most of the guys that end up winning are guys that give that money back down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like just having the title makes you feel good.
Right,
like that.
Right.
He has been
He's a gunslinger, man. He's the closest thing we got to a gunslinger.
Right he's now. Yeah. I mean, he's and I, you know, he had. I've never felt like he's great, but he gives you a chance. I mean, he's what I think. He's a likable version of what Cutler should have been.
I agree.
That's really what it comes down to. He's tough. He's not. He doesn't look very like when
he's
you
doing
look,
a Brett Favre impression, and you know it's respectable. It's like Brett Favre karaoke.
He's got a big arm. He's one of those guys. When
got
you
a
see
cannon,
him, like,
dude.
When you see him with his, like, you know, like, in, like, a t-shirt and, like, just, like, you know, from, like, the neck up, you don't think...
He looks like one of my friends. Like,
yeah, you don't look like pro athlete, you know? Mm-hmm. But then you see his shoulder if you get, like, that full shot. And you're like, okay,
right.
That's fucking giant.
What the
like.
Fuck is that? That's attached to your arm right there. Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think... I mean, they lost... I mean, Bolden was a player for them last year. That was a thing, you know? Like, and he was a great target.
Marvin Jones is, like, supposedly the number one receiver. But, man, I just feel strong about Golden Tate. He's...
Golden Tate's a guy that I really feel like swings games. Is he still playing special teams? Is the thing I want to know. Because he's always good for that one, like, you know, flip the field, punt return, it always felt like, you know.
He moves well in space. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And quickly. Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick should be good in fantasy. I don't know
who to take. I mean, like, who's
Theo Riddick in PPR. Amir Abdullah, if you want to take a chance, I don't. Golden Tate, I think, is just going to probably catch 80 footballs.
Yeah, he's kind of in that Pierre Garçon thing we discussed earlier on, where he's kind of consistently been fitting that mold.
Yeah. So there's the North. I think we both got Packers up top, and you got Vikings, Lions, Bears.
Yeah, Packers, and I got the Vikings as being a playoff team actually too.
Word. Yeah, I just have Packers as the only playoff team out of there, and they're very, very good. In the South, what do you got?
The South is a complete clusterfuck. Okay, and with the South, I'm gonna go.
I think it's a good clusterfuck.
Yeah, good. I mean, it's kind of like how the East is.
Yeah.
I think that we could say the Saints. Would we be okay putting the Saints at the bottom of this division?
No.
Ooh, no, okay. So we're already...
I like the Bucks. The Bucks are very, very good friends of mine. I've been over to their house on many occasions. We have a good relationship. I like Jameis Winston, and yeah, I will sing his praises as much as the next guy. But I just look at the other teams in this division, and I think... You know, we'll get into the conversation about the Panthers and the Falcons, but the Saints, I think it just comes down to, I think Drew Brees is going to ball out a little bit, and he's going to have a very, very bad defense again. But I think he's going to, you know, do Drew Brees stuff, and I feel like that's worth – I think he's going to be leading a better team just by a notch than last year's Saints. And they're just – I have more confidence in Brees, and there's less variability, I guess.
I don't have that same, like –
And Dirk Cutter, Sean Payton, I feel like, I don't know, just a confidence is just by one game. And
it's been
I have the
a while since Brees has had that fear factor in me, and I've kind of noticed this, like,
yeah, just
the biggest thing I've gotten with the Saints is that as a better before, I used to be scared to bet against teams in the Superdome. I don't have those fears anymore.
No, that's true.
That's a big thing for me. I mean, they really have not had much of a
The numbers are still there, but the mystique is really gone.
The numbers are there, but everyone's caught up to those numbers is really what the problem is. That people can hang points at them. And I mean, week one last year, I mean, again, they blew a game against the – I mean, like, they don't have the ability to finish games like they used to anymore, as I guess what I'm getting into that. Maybe that's where the Adrian Peterson wrinkle comes in for them. But, again, I can't trust their ability to play defense in a division where I think other teams can play defense.
Right.
And I don't think that they're as good – The Falcons, I think, have taken the mystique from them, but I can even see the Falcons taking a step backwards.
I got the Panthers at the top of this division.
You know, I'm kind of starting to lean that way myself, too. I think they got rid of that Bob McDirt.
Yeah.
No, they just have that flip-flop feeling to me. And don't be surprised if they struggle week one. I would not if they...
Cam Newton, rusty as hell.
Here's the thing going on, dude. Since San Francisco has opened up, since they moved to that new stadium, they've won week one there. Every game that they've hosted there, where it's like they always...
Levi Stadium.
They just throw it all out there. It just,
the bell bottom.
They give it their one shot. Like, let's win the local fandom here and there. We're going to give it our all. I mean, they beat the Vikings one year when the Vikings were supposed to be good. And they also beat the shit out of the Rams last year.
I remember that.
Rams or something, but I mean, they shellack them where they create the illusion. Like, that was something I listened to on a podcast today. I forgot to mention it, but who it was. But early on in the year, like, these bad teams don't know that they're bad yet. Like, they still go out there. Like, it's like the Cleveland Indians in Major League. They still go out there, you know, like, with a bunch of hope on opening day.
Nobody believes in us.
They still have that going
for them. Then they get their ass whooped, but that hasn't happened yet.
It's not till like week 6 or 7 where teams really start going, fuck.
Yeah, we're really not that good.
we're really terrible. So I can see that being, I mean, Carolina, they could go back to being, again, this is.
That's a very good defense, I think. If Luke Kuechly's there, I think they could win 12 games. And if he's not there, I think they could win 7 or 8.
Obviously, I mean, McCaffrey could be a huge difference maker.
He's huge. He's not literally huge, but
he's not huge. But depending if Cam can look, he doesn't have to be MVP Cam, but can he be not Cam of
efficient
last year?
Cam.
Like, can he be even the Cam, the 7-9 or the 6-8-1 year, whatever the hell it was? Mm-hmm. I mean, I forget.
Just throw less picks. Keep the offense moving, kind of delegate. That's why I feel like Christian McCaffrey is going to be so good for him. I feel like he's second for me after Kaiser for rookie of the year. I think he's going to get 20 touches a game.
I don't know if I got him in the 12 win range exactly, but I mean, they're over under set at 9 right now. I mean, I would not be shocked if I went 10. The Bucks, I feel like that the Hard Knocks thing, if I hadn't watched Hard Knocks, I would have felt differently about going there. I do like Jameis going forward, but again, like where I still mentioned that he still has to make that one leap and bound of maturity that Mariota. I mean, like Jameis still does, like, he's accountable, he's coachable, he's a great guy with amongst his teammates. But there was so much, I mean, again, like, it's all relative to, you know, how much footage. I mean, like, you know, you hear shit with, you can edit it any way you want. It seemed like they show him doing a lot of dumb shit on Hard Knocks, or constantly, like, you know, just doing that thing, or even in the preseason, just that one play where he's already going down and he just throws the ball up in the air, or is just like, can you just get rid of that one thing about you? Because
he plays a lot like Eli Manning in the way that, like, what makes him great is, like, he sees things that other people don't. But then he also makes those, dude, what are you doing, plays, you know?
And I kind of just saw, I mean, like, I don't recall seeing a training camp with head, like, as many almost had seen, like, malcontents as, like, your guys, like that one guy, I don't know if he ended up making the team, the wide receiver that Jameis played in college, like, Bobo Wilson or like that, like, okay. Or Boo Boo Wilson, like, he, like, kind of was like, you know, like, he was like, oh, like, I'm used to things at Florida State. It's like, you're in the fucking NFL now, buddy. Or, like, I don't know, there was just some guys that, seemed like they were just missing there was a running back that was constantly missing blocks, and it was like he was like constantly yelling at everybody, or I don't know, there was just someone was going there, but Jameis definitely does seem like a good guy, because that was the whole thing that, like, you know, I felt where I kind of felt was like Jameis was still trying to, there was a rookie quarterback from Colorado there, three quarterbacks. No one keeps three quarterbacks anymore. And it's him and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Giants are.
Well, I mean wait a second. That is actually one thing with the Panthers though. This is actually a concern.
Derek Anderson, right?
They have three safeties on their roster and two kickers. I've been reading that. A buddy of mine on Twitter is a huge Panthers fan. He has not stopped about this.
Those are two roster spots right there.
They have two.
What's going on, guys?
They have two kickers on the roster still. So that's.
Maybe they got a kickoff guy. Somebody's got more kick power. Who knows?
I don't know. But that was.
That's funny.
That was just something I
thought. What do you think about the Chargers kicker? That's pretty cool, right?
I saw the videos. I mean, just fucking make it. Like, I feel so bad. Like,
just make the field goal.
Like, I this idea, like, you know, like, there's how to, like, I'm not sure it's more ridiculous that there's so many guys that can do that or that can, you know, do. I mean, like, when you watch college, you really start noticing this, like, when you're, like, you know, like, wow, like with Aguayo on Hard Knocks. So they're like, yeah, inside of 50 yards, we expect you to make those kicks. And I'm like, what, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're like, I bet an under in the Super Bowl every year that it won't be a field goal over 43.5 yards because they're just not worth taking a lot of the time. Like,
kicking a football that far is really hard.
It looks even worse when you actually see how far it looks from their vantage point. Like, you're like, wait, so people can do this? Like,
Did you see that Aguayo lost his job to Connor Barth, the same person that he was – drafted to replace in Tampa Bay. That's like a perfect fitting end. It's like it was a storybook ending for Aguayo's career.
I mean, the thing is that, like, I mean, realistically, I wish they could ask that guy. Did you expect to be a fucking second round pick coming out of college? Like,
how inside your own head are you right now, bud?
I mean, it has to be. I mean, because you had to have done it once before.
He's got demons. He's got demons big time, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean he's going Ray Finkel route, you know, like Ace Ventura right now. He's
it's like a Stephen King book.
He's gonna have been Shady Acres, but I don't know. I love the Bucks. Just seems I heard something on a podcast actually too that they might release Doug Martin when he's done with the suspension.
I don't buy that. I think he's real.
I heard it from if DeQuise Rogers This guy was on a fairly in-depth, his credentials spoke there. It was on, I don't want to mention, you know, other podcasts by names because you should only be listening to stuff on Crow Media.
No, that's fine.
It was on Gil Alexander, it was a betting podcast, but they had this one fantasy expert on there, and he was talking about how he loved Jaquizz Rodgers from the Valley because he had heard that there was a chance that Doug Martin was not going to be retained.
That's fair.
I mean, they played that one angle on. I felt like it was weird, like an angle they brought up on Hard Knocks. Was like going, "Oh, he sets his revolver this life," and it's like, all he did was have like a weed.
Right. Stop smoking weed for a little bit.
But I do have them in front of the Falcons.
Okay, I have Carolina, Falcons, Saints.
I think the Falcons. There's a hangover to that. I mean, like, I mean, again, it's cliche. You've heard it a million times, but you know, the Super Bowl loser does not usually make the playoffs the next year. And now they've lost the one that they way that they did. And that Falcons team, I mean, I'll be the first. Like, when I'm wrong on a team, I am fucking wrong on a team. That has been proven through a lot of, you know, my wagering over the years. Usually, I bet the Falcons under last year. I also had the under 8.5 wins, I think it was. I also, conversely, the year before, had the Panthers under 8.5 wins. So I would win the. If I bet you that your team under and they go over, there's a chance that they're going to the title game. I've done it with the Royals.
Yeah, let me know how it works out this year.
I did it in 2013. I did it with the Red Sox. They beat the Cardinals in the World Series. It made it even worse.
Damn, that's terrible.
But
yeah, let me know how that works out this year for you.
No, but I got this. So do you have the Saints at the bottom or no?
No, the Saints on top of the Bucks. Bucks 7-9. Saints 8-8-ish.
Okay, so that's the biggest disagreement there in the South. That's going to be That's probably Falcons the hardest division to pick, I'd say. I mean, and that's the one. Because here's the thing: the wins are they're going to have. They almost have. You could say two. I don't want to say free wins, but wins are easier to come by. They all have to play the Patriots, so that could all just be a loss right there. But then they all do get Buffalo and the Jets, and depending on what you get, I mean, you know, this thing with Miami is going to be a thing now with them. You know, they're playing in London, and they're also playing 16.
Miami might lose more teams. Yeah.
That could also actually hurt Tampa Bay, actually, too, going forward, you know, having that grind on there. So, maybe I got the Bucs and the Falcons having the same record.
In the NFC, my wildcard teams are the Cowboys and the Falcons. And in the AFC, I've got the Chargers and the Texans.
I had the Chargers winning that division there, so I was going to go with my wild cards. So I was going to go with the Bengals, and I was going to go with the Bengals and the Texans. It's going to be that's the most. It's the most like cliche playoff almost for the AFC going there. I mean, the Bengals, Texans.
You know. I mean, we're picking what we actually think, and just it's happened more, so we think it's going to happen. So, how do you think generally the playoffs are going to shake out? What do you think the AFC and the NFC championship games are going to look like?
I mean, it's tough for me not to imagine the AFC Championship game not being played in Foxborough. Right. It's tough for me not to imagine, and this is across the board. I mean, even like listening and like reading other publications where they panel 10 experts, 8 of them will have the Patriots at the Super Bowl, and the only other ones you have are the Steelers. Like, it's really just narrowed down that much. So it's very tough, hard for me to imagine that. Again, that a game's not going to be played in Lambeau, or I guess I'm putting my foot in my mouth again, but not going to be played in Seattle.
I see Seattle and Foxborough. I could see Oakland.
Well, Seattle wouldn't be in Foxborough. I mean, if Seattle played New England in the Super Bowl, you were saying.
No, I'm saying in each – like the NFC Championship game, I think that's in Seattle. AFC Championship game, I think, you know, that's Foxborough. I could see Oakland. I can picture that for some reason. But the way I see it shaking out is I think the Patriots, just for fuck's sake, I got them over the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to might like – make a run. I have them winning wild card. I could see them beating the Raiders in the playoffs if it comes to it. Phillip Rivers, just if people stay healthy, that defense is, you know, has another year to gel.
How crazy would that be though if they do with this 27,000 person stadium host a playoff game like that?
I mean, wouldn't it?
But the thing is, if they had to play the Steelers there, there'd be 22,000 Steelers fans.
Yeah,
so.
That's very true. That's gonna be a hell. That's gonna be awesome to just monitor them just because of that.
And I mean, again, like the road is going through. You've had to go through Foxborough at some point in time to get to every Super Bowl. I think for the longest period of time, the winner has won a game. The AFC representative has either beaten the Patriots or had to go to Foxborough to win a game.
Yeah.
I think it's been like a very, very long running streak. So it's tough for you to imagine any differently.
Yeah, they've probably got the Patriots on the Super Bowl. I think the Chargers are going to make a serious run for it, and I'd hope they make the Super Bowl. I think there's a chance there. And same with the Raiders. But the AFC generally isn't that good, I don't think.
I'm contradicting myself because I just kind of talked down on the Packers and the Seahawks again. But yet again, I see myself going that one of those two teams will be hosting. And, well, I've been wrong 2 years in a row, but it's hard for me to not think that one of those two teams does not factor in as far as at least being the AFC NFC Championship game. And maybe Carolina does return to the form that they were of a couple of years ago. Maybe McCaffrey is that. I mean, let's think, in reality, that was a pretty freaking bad roster that they brought to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it really wasn't great.
I mean, Philly Brown, who just got cut by the Bills, was a receiver. Like, there was Philly Brown and Ted Ginn Jr. props in the Super Bowl.
That's silly.
So
Mike Tolbert chilling.
Mike Tolbert, Bill's backup now. But, yeah, so, I mean, Jonathan Stewart, the age – I mean, he's in that category now, too, of, like, the
Pierre Garçon
running backs,
yeah.
Or, you know, like – Like
he's holy shit, he's been around for a while. I forgot about him.
Yeah, I mean D'Angelo Williams. I mean, they were smash and dash back in the day, whatever they call their fucking.
Something like that. Whatever their name
Thunder,
was.
Thunder, Lightning, whatever. There's only so many cliche nicknames. They're really running out of stuff.
So I think the Giants are going to play very, very good, and I think they're going to be a dangerous team in the playoffs because of the defense, and like I said earlier, that offensive line is going to determine how far they make it. I think the Seahawks are going to win the NFC. And I think the Giants are going to be close. I think Cowboys could be in there. And I think the Packers are probably, like, have better odds than the Giants. I know they do. But
here's the problem. We have the Giants winning the division. The Giants are not going to win a home playoff game. It's just not happening.
That's true. Nobody, we're going to expect Eli to be good. That's why. And that's when things come crumbling down.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I mean, let's just say
– he is vexing.
I mean, like, last year, I mean, you know, the Giants – I'm having a hard time because – the Packers, I knew, were the team that nobody wanted to play at the time that game was being had in Lambeau Field. But I think the Giants had a little bit of that buzz going with them, too, didn't they? They just beat the Cowboys again.
And Odell was at peak Odell hype, and then he needed the whole boat thing. And I don't.
Yeah, you need the back door in there. See, I could see the Giants, you know, like maybe, you know, get the luck of the draw and facing that. Maybe they do rip off that record that you have, and they get the luck of getting that Vikings team. You know, maybe they win the division. They get that Vikings team in the first round that I have making the wild card, and they get the win out
of
there.
Or Aaron Rodgers doesn't get help, and the defense kind of just does stuff and maybe forces a turnover too. And then
I mean, like I'm not trying to, you know, like revisit the history of that, but like even you have to kind of say that the game that the Giants won en route to their last Super Bowl victory at Lambeau against that team,
the Rodgers game.
If they played it 10 times, do you really feel like that's
no? Probably 3.
You know, like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm saying, like,
that. The same thing, though, with the one before that with Favre. Like, going into Lambeau, it's...
That one I felt better about than with... I bet the Giants in that game, and that was just kind of... That was kind of... The Favre factor was that I felt like that was what... You know, he was kind of... I had the faith in him making the bad throw. It's just kind of...
Always.
He's got that feeling to him, you know, it's...
Plexico showed up big. It was weird because it was an ice game. But yeah, I can just – I mean, it's hard. I don't expect them to go into Lambeau and win, but, like, I've seen it happen twice against two great quarterbacks. And, I mean, the Giants lost last year because Aaron Rodgers hit the Hail Mary.
Yeah, I mean, it's –
instead of Eli this time, so it's like
– the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary, though, is a proven fact, though. It's not even – it's like –
it's a good throw, yeah.
I mean, I just – Has this become the whole like thing with the being like? Has the NFL reached the basketball part where? I mean, again, I feel like, you know, very vanilla just going through as much time as we did, just breaking down divisions and just coming up with, okay, we got the Patriots and probably the Seahawks or the
probably Seahawks.
Like, there's something that's shocking where it's just like, okay, you got the Cavs or you got the Warriors.
Yeah, the Chargers are like the Bucks, I guess, for me.
It's, I mean, like, teams making playoffs doesn't shock me. It's just that, it's like I brought before, like, you know, on the, before the, how the like distribution of the NFL talent is that, you know, you can have 4 outliers, and I just mentioned those, basically being the Patriots, the Steelers, the Seahawks, and the Packers. And then on the other end, you have the 4 outliers, you know, we'll just go for the sake of this one, the Bills, the Jets, the Browns, and the 49ers. In between there, you have 24 teams that are all separated by, you know, they're talking, they're all between 6-10 and 10-6. And in many cases, it's one play one way, one play another way, another game that dictates which side of.
Sometimes those teams get hot, too.
Sometimes those teams do get hot. I mean, it's just, It would shock me. It wouldn't shock me if certain teams made playoffs. It would shock me if certain teams went on runs. The Atlanta Falcons going on the run that they went on shocked me last year.
Who's
going
to beat the Patriots this year, man?
I don't know. Like, I wish I could offer up something, but what are they – what's
– the Patriots seem as inevitable as
– the only thing that beats the Patriots is a fucking – is a retarded Giants team. It's a 9-7 Giants team with a hot Eli Manning.
Eli Manning beating Tom Brady 3 times in the Super
Bowl. I mean, that's –
being,
you know,
the only human to do it.
Yeah, that would be the thing where, again, it would be like – that's the one
Samuel
thing the,
Charlie.
The Giants just have going for you, again, is that they're always the one Odell slant from, you know – and maybe Brandon Marshall. I mean, what's has he been hurt or a little banged up?
He's going to play week one. He's been
he's
cleared
a gamer.
To go.
I mean, I would like to think he's going to help.
Shepard's good. Ingram's fast.
I just wish I could have something on the backfield that I could, you know, feel good about.
Yeah. I feel you. I feel like Darkwa should be starting, but it's, I mean, it's Orleans Darkwa. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, so you want to hit who you got MVP?
MVP. So I feel like that, you know, like maybe this is the year. I think I'm going to go with the Rodgers. I think it's been a little bit.
Good pick. Yeah, it's been a few years. Yeah, don't.
I mean, I feel like at the time, you know, like we, you know, it's been a couple of years. I think the Brady's kind of getting into the period of time where maybe
the Patriots
Brady.
Are so. I think Brady would be like is the favorite, right? But like, I feel like by the time the end of the season comes around, it's going to be like, yeah, Brady threw 50 touchdowns and 3 interceptions.
I mean, I imagine
like,
Brady and Rodgers are always. There's going to be the surprise guy. Is the guy who leads the surprise team is more likely to get it.
True, but I don't know. Neither of us really have that, do we?
I guess we maybe Mariota you throw there, or the Rivers. Maybe you throw the Rivers in there.
I got Wilson.
Wilson?
Just because, offensive line, he's going to be running around. The team should be good, and there's a potential for him to just, like, maybe not put up crazy stats, but to kind of do, I mean, this is a bad analogy, because Westbrook did throw up good stats, but, like, kind of do the Russell Westbrook thing, where it's just maybe not the efficiency is there, but just, all right, Russ – do stuff on offense while the offensive line's breaking down. Defense will hold it down.
I'll just go to be – just to be different, I'll say Mariota because if the Titans are as good as we say they are, he can put up a good statistical season, give a bunch of rushing touchdowns. And again, the flashy new toy. Let's face it, Matt Ryan and Cam Newton are our past two MVPs, and all these other guys have still been playing pretty fucking good.
I heard Matt Stafford's 50-1.
Yeah.
That's 50-1.
I mean, last year he had a little buzz going too, and he was still kind of that far back. I mean,
yeah,
Carr might because of he kind of proved his case a little bit. I just don't feel good about the Raiders, but he's obviously something to throw up there. I'm gonna go with Mariota just because if he gets into like a, if the Titans were 12-4, and he's got, you know, some like 30 some odd touchdowns, only a few interceptions ratio, and he's got a couple hundred yards rushing. I can see, you know, a little bit of love for him.
Absolutely. How about coach?
Coach, again. I mean, any given
it's
year,
a bullshit award.
Yeah,
just like Popovich.
I think Popovich is only one of like a handful of times. It's okay. Every year he steps in. It's kind of the idea that even like Coward has about MVP in basketball. That every year LeBron James is playing his most valuable player because he gives his team a chance to win every year.
Right.
Same thing. I got to go with Belichick. But. Zimmer. Maybe we go Zimmer because, you know, he gets a good season out of the Vikings there.
I don't even know if this guy's a good coach, but I can see how things happen. Bill O'Brien. I can see how just the Texans are suddenly really good.
If Deshaun Watson comes on pretty high, looks comfortable, and they were to win that division.
A smooth transfer from Savage to Watson
little,
and
little
the
Houston,
team looks great.
Little Houston love.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's possible.
So, yeah. There's that. Are we trying to do week one or no? I'm cool on just, hey, this is – we'll touch base after this week. Let's
Yeah, I'm pretty good with that. I mean, week one, you can just follow me at SCHO525, SCHO525 on Twitter. Also, there's going to be a show coming out on the Crow Media Sports Network, the Degenerate Athletic Club. They will have some picks on week one there. Me, personally, if I had to put one bet down that I want to make, it's going to be the Titans over the I like the Titans over the Raiders.
Okay.
They're giving a point and a half, I believe. Actually, I got a couple. I like the Chargers going into Denver. They're catching 3.5 points. Would not be shocked if they won that one outright.
Okay.
I like the Rams big over the Colts.
I think
Todd Gurley is going to be able to run at will.
Todd's going to have a big game. Todd.
Todd's going to have a big game there. So those are some picks. But yeah, check me out on Twitter at SCO525. Also, I have the Paying the Bills podcast. I'll be keeping you up to date on Bills related information, and also I like to comment on my gambling and things I noticed on the NFL. I'm very critical of quarterbacks. So.
Live on Twitter, the guy is all over it, and I'll be writing probably after week one kicks off here. I'm sure we'll record a podcast near the beginning of next week because we'll just be all jazzed up still about football, all the football that just happened. Hopefully everybody is okay.
See, this is such a long week. We have a Thursday, then we have the college like little lull because there's actually college games being played on Friday this week now because of the hurricane.
Very true.
So we have 5 straight days. Then
there's another one coming. So hopefully we can check in on Monday.
The late night Monday nights, the Monday night until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah, jeez, man. Yeah. So the next time we all talk to you here, a lot will have changed.
Yes, fortunes can be won or lost.
Fortunes can be won or lost. It's up to you. All right. Thanks for joining us on the New Rules Podcast.